Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Yes, indeedy, I'm here. I am here again for more fun and excitement. And to those of you who are Patreon subscribers are getting to watch some video, and I even did some fun stuff in the intro for the video just to give you some worthwhile fun. And so, we're back with Lost Boy Philip again, and we're hoping Jonathan Johnson of Jizz Radio might get to join us later. I've had some trouble getting everything coordinated for the show this week, and it's been a hectic day, but we're here. I'm forgoing the news and Trailer Park, although I might have some of that maybe later this week. Maybe we'll just do a second show this week. But we're going to talk X-Men 97 plus the classic X-Men cartoon. And then, of course,
that's right.
We got a chance to go see Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, and we're going to talk all about that. I've got some notes on the production I'm going to pull up and everything. We're just going to have a grand old time. Philip and I just babble on like we normally would. And you're going to love us because if you're here, I'm sure you enjoy the show anyway. And I'm hoping you do enjoy the show. I got to share something. I sent Philip a message on that, but I'm going to go ahead and share this with all of you now listening, because I think it might be important to this, and I'm just going to let the music play, because I don't really have any more to say about what the show is other than it's X-Men and it's Ghostbusters. So, but I sent Philip a message on this, and I want to discuss it with you, the audience, because this might affect the podcast. So, as you all know, probably, if you've been around long enough, this used to be a Disney show, and I had a pretty good-sized audience. When I left the Disney, I didn't so much leave Disney as Disney left me, as they've left a lot of us. They're no longer right. Walt's company. They're really not the parks of the middle class. I mean, you can't afford this anymore. I mean, they've really gone off the rails. So it's like, you know, I'm going to continue this on my own. And one of the nice things about this becoming the Fandom Nexus that it has, and I've dropped even Neverland off of the main title of it, although we're still Neverlanders around here and we're Lost Boys and Pixies. It's still there.
Sure.
I felt more free that I could have more faith-based guests and share a little bit more of my faith on the show. And I've seen the audience kind of shrink and dwindle and dwindle. And I'm like, okay, well, I've got to slowly rebuild this up. And you listener, you dear listener, can help build this show up by simply sharing it with other people, telling people how, if you're enjoying the show, you can help us out on Patreon. Right now, I have no support on Patreon. I'm paying for this show completely out of my own pocket, and I enjoy doing it. But I was getting very discouraged, thinking, well, golly, you know, maybe as we wrap up the season 11 here, or maybe when I hit 500 episodes, I'll just call it quits. Maybe this is where I'm supposed to stop. And as I've had those thoughts in my head, I had a dream the other night. And so this is kind of an odd dream. Okay, so I was in some sort of a building, and there was this four-legged monstrosity. It's this horrible thing showed up, and it was attacking people. And I was kind of helping, you know, like, get people out of the building. We got to run for it. We got to get out. This thing's horrible. This monster is going to deal with this. And as I got outside the building, I got, you know, and see all people getting out, and people were still trapped inside, I remember saying, I wish I could fight back against this monster, do something. To where a voice told me, give glory to God and you will have the power to fight back against the monster. So I just start praising God. I said, thank you, Lord, for the power to fight back for these people. And when I'd praise the Lord, when those words would come out my mouth, it was like this blue, fiery, but it would come out in billows, like when you see like a big mass of fire, like on TV or whatever, and it billows up in smoke and big puffs of smoke, right? But it was like blue, and it would come out in a smoky fire out of my mouth, and it would go straight out in front of me. As I would praise the Lord or whatever, and eventually I start singing, and I remember I recognized the praise song I was singing, but yet I don't remember what it was I was singing. But I went inside and I saw, well, people were hurt, or they were scared or discouraged, and I would praise the Lord with them, and they joined in singing with me, and we were going together, and every song of praise, every glory to God I gave came out as this blue light. And if the people it touched were healed, they were encouraged, they joined with me, and we were together going through the building. And I never saw that monster again, but I saw people who needed it, and we would sing to them, and they would get hit by the blue light, and they would smile and become joyful, and we'd praise God together, and they'd join me, and we'd sing together. But now the odd thing, there are some people who came along that we would sing to them, and they would shine back away. They didn't want the blue light to touch them because it had a limited range, you know, so they'd back away from me. But it's like, well, I can't force them to join us in singing and praising. But so I'd move on to the next people who wanted to hear it. And I've been wondering, and this was Saturday night, like or early Sunday morning or whatever, I had this. I meant to talk to you on Sunday about this, Phil, but you didn't get a chance to. And I have been wondering, okay, God, what are you telling me to do? Because I feel like I'm being instructed. And what's really laid on my heart, because you know, I was feeling very discouraged about keeping this show going. And I kind of think that, and I'm going to pray about this more, but I kind of think that maybe my voice is going out in this podcast and I want to be an encouragement to people. But maybe I need to give more praise to God on this and focus more, even make this more of a faith-based show that it has been. And hopefully that is reaching out to you and you'll want to join in with us and sharing in, because we're still going to have some fun and retro fun. I'm going to continue to do that, but I feel maybe God saying more, praise me more in the show and give glory to God and of how great things can be in life. Because there's a lot of discouraging things out there right now in this life. I mean, right. We've had even just this morning, a bridge had fallen in Baltimore. And
yeah, it's people, terrible.
There's terrible things going on in the world.
There's at least 6 people missing, they said.
Yeah, it's just heartbreaking. And I feel bad for the people who, the ship malfunctioned, who are on board trying to steer it. How must they feel?
Oh,
crashing.
Sure.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, there's
that bridge has been around a long time, too.
But there's so much bad in the world that you if you can praise God in the darkness, you can praise God anywhere, right?
Amen.
But the praise to God and sharing of him is sharing a light and a fire into the world that warms people and encourages people and gives them courage. And I'm thinking, well, maybe that's what I'm supposed to be doing, is bringing you encouragement and courage and joy out into the world. Now, there's going to be a case of we're going to come across something, but we're going to give her a bad review. But find a way to bring the joy and go ahead and I'll share more faith, I think, in this show than what we previously have done. I think it should become more of a focus. I think that's what God is maybe telling me to do. And maybe we reach more people, and maybe that means more people join with me. And I would love to hear from more people who listen to the show, sending emails. I get to interact with a few people on Facebook. And, you know, people who want to partner in with me, that's one of the things. Like, you know, I don't have the Patreon support. I really don't. I'm paying it out of pocket. There are ways that you can support the show, and that would be like you coming alongside with me and joining me and singing the song of praise to the Lord. And we just thank God that we have things to be thankful for. And maybe that's part of my problem. I'm not thankful enough. And I got to think how thankful, what all I've gotten to do. And I'm in the 11th year that I've been doing this, all the wonderful, fun things I've gotten to do, the people I've gotten to meet. I mean, I got to have a nice sit down with Katie Lee at Planet Comic Con, which was
there
awesome. Because, you know, like my favorite radio show, Adventures in Odyssey, that even though we discovered it, I was college age, I think, when we showed the cartoon to the kids. And then I found out, oh my gosh, there's a radio show. And that's got me loving radio drama to where I started checking out the library, old shows from the 40s and the 30s, I guess, even. So doing this has really had a great impact on my life, and it has changed my life entirely. I mean, the career I'm at now is started because of this. And maybe I'm just not thankful enough and appreciating it.
Well, I say your show is about fun, film, family and faith. And that's what your show is. Yeah, well, that's fun. That's fun. That's fun, family and faith.
Yeah.
Yeah, because family time, well, at least when I was a kid, family time we used to do on Saturday nights, my father, we would sometimes go out to the movies. Sometimes we'd go out to arcades and other things. But that would be family time. Sometimes we'd be sitting around in the living room, all of us watching a Disney show. So that's why you can still talk about old classic Disney, I call it. Rather be Pollyanna or whatever. And so we used to... Oh, well, we got to remedy that.
We used to have 2 years. We'll get to it. Uh-oh, I feel like we're...
Yeah.
There we go. We lost signal of you for a second there, I think.
All right.
Your video is glitchy.
Okay.
But
yeah.
Yeah. Fun, faith, family, and having a good time. And heck, my family is 3 cats and a wife. And then, of course, Phil. Phil is an honorary family. I call his mother my second mom. So I don't know if you can hear it in the recording from last week's show. I refer to Katie Lee as like almost like a third mom because she has been voices and stuff I've watched since I was a kid that were my formative shows. Gummy Bears, Muppet Babies. She has she refers herself as the voice of your childhood, and she ain't kidding around. She has been the voice of my childhood. She did in her own weird way of voicing these characters helped raise me. So I kind of referred to her as like a third mom. I don't know if she caught me saying it, but in a way she has been.
I was watching something yesterday, or maybe it was 2 days ago now, but I was watching something where it was talking about how all these wonderful voice actors have been around as long as we know it, sometimes we just don't know who they are, but they've been around our whole life and longer sometimes.
And it's great that they're learning how much of an impact they've had on our lives as we've grown up. And now they get to come to conventions and we get to meet them. And I feel like they're finally getting the credit they deserve here lately. Maybe for the use of the internet, you know, we finally get to go. It's like, there's the person who played that character that meant so much to me as a kid and still means a lot to me as an adult.
Yeah.
So it does mean a lot. So, but I just wanted to share that with all of you, the audience, that things may change around here and hopefully get a little better. And if you like what we're doing, please share this with your friends. That's one way that you can really kind of come alongside and sing praise to God basically with me is share with a bunch of people. Let's rebuild this show and let's bless people with it. That's going to be my goal. And I'm going to try my best because I think that's what God wants me to do is I have a voice here, and just consider this blue light, blue fire coming at your speakers or coming into your earbuds, however you're listening, and hopefully giving you some encouragement. And let's learn to be thankful together and praise the Lord for what we have, even in those times we don't feel like we have it. And heck, I've even had, I'm not supposed to talk about some of the stuff that I've had some, not, let's just say I've had some stuff I've struggled with. God has really been blessing my wife and I over the past week with some surprises of what we didn't know was coming that completely surprised, and it was been wonderful blessings, and it really has helped us out a lot with things that has been kind of a discouragement. So, you know, God's taken care of me, and I want to thank him for that. Definitely. He shows up. Sometimes it feels like he waits till the last minute, but he waits. He's a wizard is never late, nor is he early. He was always arrives precisely when he means to, for all you Lord of the Rings fans. God shows up precisely when he means to. And there it is.
Right.
But yeah, so let's talk some X-Men. Now, because, and I'm sure we've shared this before, but it's worth sharing, when this original series, because what did it start, like 93?
92, right. On Halloween, they aired it.
Yeah,
and
it ran for like 5 seasons, so yeah, 92.
Yeah. Alan, too, when and I remember coming over to your house on a Halloween morning.
Yep.
And we watched.
We were going to have some fun.
You recorded
day.
It. I was watching it. Oh, my goodness. What a great day. Yeah. That was one of my favorite days.
Yeah. Sitting there watching that premiere episode.
I had stopped trick-or-treating. And mother had went out and bought us. your mother had went out and bought us some Batman Returns candy. And she was so sweet. And I of course brought my big 2-liter of Diet Mountain Dew.
Yep.
And I remember that we were so excited. So I had dressed up with this Halloween outfit and all. And what happened was not a whole lot of people came. We had like a haunted yard or whatever.
Yeah.
And not a whole lot of people came. So what we ended up doing was I went out and grabbed my pillowcase and we decided to go trick or treating that night.
Yeah, we did.
I drive a pillowcase and we've got, I mean, that neighborhood was giving out full-size candy bars, two or three sometimes.
And that was a nice neighborhood fun to trick-or-treat.
It was. But I remember that when we saw that, I already liked the X-Men. Because I remember seeing the, maybe it was the Hanna-Barbera, but I remember Hanna-Barbera showed it with some of their cartoons around that time.
Yeah.
It was like Sun, whatever they call
it.
Yeah,
it was part of like Marvel Action Hour and stuff they would do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where so they,
when
I
you
saw
had
it
back with Marvel Animation that used to work with and doing G.I. Joe and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you had
yeah
a lot of same it voices.
It was like, not Sunbow. What was it called? It was like something like that. It had that sun. It would go around and like Sunbow or something like that. And I can't remember the name of the studio. I'm sorry. I can't remember.
Yeah, but no, this was the old Marvel Animation Studios that had brought you
yeah
Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. They
yes
animated G.I. Joe,
yeah,
Transformers.
I remember it so well, yes, and I remember, and I enjoyed it.
Then that was, of course, we're talking Pride of the X-Men there.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. That's it. And I remember watching that, and I already liked them because they had toys around that same time that
yes
kind of looked similar from the Secret Wars or whatever.
Yeah, the Toy Biz and toy line.
I was so foolish, though. I say foolish, ignorant. I didn't know a lot about Wolverine. I'd seen his pictures at this place we used to go to called Pack Rat. And, Paperback Rack.
Yeah, actually. Paperback Rack.
And I
used to buy your comics.
And I saw posters of Wolverine. I just fell in love with the character because he looked so cool. But I thought because the way the toy was, you could take the claws off. And I thought, well, maybe his claws could go on his feet. But I was wrong, of course.
Yeah.
So I saw the cartoon. And I realized who it was and what he did. But man, when that cartoon came on, that Halloween, and you recorded it and we watched it again and again and again and again. And it was only one part.
Yeah, the first part of Night of Sentinels.
So we watched it like I think you recorded it on a video you already had or whatever. And we watched it again and again. And
yeah,
I
missed the second episode and I didn't
yes
get recorded. So
I
had to borrow.
Recorded it.
I had to borrow from your VHS and I put mine back in order. And yeah.
Yes. And we would do that
VHS
every week
for like three seasons.
We did that with X-Men and
Spider-Man.
Batman for years. Spider-Man.
Yes,
I fell in love with Gambit because I didn't know who he was. In fact, I started collecting the X-Men, the comic book, and I still have the first issue that Gambit ever showed up in.
That's valuable now if you take good care
yeah
of
it. Yeah, I have that. I got that when I was I was in high school. I was a junior, and I love X-Men. So my very favorite is Gambit, and I love Cyclops and Wolverine. And I got to be honest, one thing I loved – well, I'll get to the new show in a minute with you.
Yeah.
But I love to see Cyclops being Cyclops again because I haven't seen that in years because
yeah
of the way they did it in the movies. I feel
yeah
like we've missed out on Cyclops for years.
Yeah.
Look, I love Wolverine, but sometimes there's too much Wolverine and I'm not the other characters.
Yeah. Well, the funny part about this, okay, so of course I grew up, you know, we'd watch Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. We were watching Super Friends. Of course, you had Superman movies.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, the Batman 60s series came on. So I knew some of the basics before I started reading any
sure
comics. I remember the first time I saw Wolverine. It was, I think, the fifth grade. And the guy sitting in front and to the left of me was reading the first solo Wolverine comic, his first limited series.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah
I saw the artwork where here's this guy. I mean, in the era of Freddy Krueger, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
There's
yeah
this guy with these blades coming out of his hands standing on a pile of bodies. And I asked him, what is this, some
one
kind of a villain guy? He's like, that's Wolverine. He's my hero. So I was like, that's a hero? Heroes aren't supposed to kill. You know, this guy's killed
he's cool,
but he's
though
on a pile of bodies. So, but I didn't know about the Punisher at the time either. So, but like the
awesome
second time that I got a good encounter with the X-Men was the 6-player arcade game when I was freshman year in high school. And I was on a bowling league, and they had the 6-player X-Men out in the arcade part of it. And I was like, oh, because I'd heard of them. And I'd heard about the Pride of the X-Men cartoon because everybody was talking about it at school. But I really wasn't familiar with any more than Wolverine.
Yeah.
But then seeing all these other characters, I'm like, oh, look, these are kind of cool. And then I think it was that very day. It was a Saturday that my neighbors, you know, that I used to play with and everything, you know, when we were kids, actually had gotten some trading cards of X-Men. And we were kind of going through and reading about the characters and all this, like, oh, this is really, really cool. And because most of the time, if I was going to read a comic, I had to borrow it from somebody. I borrowed a lot from
sure.
I could read stuff because never had spending money for anything until I earned my own spending money. And the very first comic I bought was an issue of Amazing Spider-Man that was Mark Bagley art, which I now have signed because it was important to me to have that one. When Mark Bagley came to Planet Comic-Con a couple years back, I wanted that one signed. I told him, it's like, this is the very first comic I bought with my own money. and I loved the artwork on it, and it was your work, and you've been my favorite Spider-Man artist, and so I had him sign it for me, so I have it signed. My very first comic that I bought with my own money. So, but yeah, so I started reading, actually, the X-Men before I'd gotten to see the animated series, so I was familiar with a lot of stuff. I started diving in, and, but you know, just buying and reading X-Men. I was mainly X-Men and Spider-Man, and my sister had actually gotten me for my birthday a subscription to Uncanny X-Men. So I was getting that one. The other title is just regular X-Men. I had to go and buy on my own. And there was a gas station we could walk to that I could get stuff. So that's where most of my money, when I started doing some work.
And when they did that, when they started the X-Men, I remember it confused me because I was used to what they called Uncanny X-Men, which was the original X-Men. And they just added the Uncanny in there, which, you know, is very much a Sam Lee thing.
The Amazing Spider-Man, the Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah,
I forgot what Daredevil was.
That was when I was
Daredevil
a teenager.
Was just the man without fear.
Yeah, that's it. You know, but I remember when they was doing all that, and my brother-in-law, who he became my brother-in-law when I was just turned 11, but I've known him since I was like 8 or 9. He's the one who started showing me a lot of those characters. So I knew Colossus, and I knew Nightcrawler, I knew all of them, and he made these little bitty die-cast metal figures of them when I was like 9 maybe 10, so I knew who a lot of them were, and I enjoyed them. Every time I go over to his house, he let me read a lot of them, and I started reading a bunch of them. So whenever I find, and then the Pride of the X-Men came on, so that's how I knew a lot of those characters. So by the time they finally, and then I started collecting those cards. So I would you remember I'd collect those cards, and we get to learn a lot about them.
Oh yeah, you had a good collection of the cards back then.
Yes,
I had a good collection. I've lost a bunch of them, but
you can learn a lot about the characters just by all these Marvel characters. Like, oh, this one must be a really great guy or whatever, you know?
Yeah, and boy, and the really ones fun because, you know, with me and Redheads, that the Jean Grey X-Men card.
Oh, I remember.
Oh, my goodness. So I was an instant fan of Jean Grey. But
I liked her.
And I'm always drawn.
I was always a Rogue girl. Yeah. I mean, Rogue guy because she's Southern, you know?
Yeah. I've always been more drawn to, and maybe I'm boring for this, but I've always been drawn to more of the Boy Scout responsible type of characters. I look up to
me
them
too,
like,
actually,
like Superman. And you and I are both fans of Leonardo the Turtle.
He's always my guy.
So Cyclops, when I started getting more familiar with him from reading in the comics and then seeing him in the MA series, Cyclops has been my number one guy. They've messed with Cyclops, and that's all. It took me a while to like that first X-Men movie because they made him kind of lame. Because Wolverine, let's face it, Wolverine's a jerk. He really is.
Well, the thing is Cyclops was the main character for the first 25 or so years. And he still was pretty much bringing all the people in, the new characters in the 70s, 75, 76. I think 75.
Yeah.
I think it was 75.
There in that issue.
I mean, that was the year before I was born. That was the year of Jaws. I always call it, because that changed movies, you know?
Yeah.
So the year of Jaws was the year they brought them all in. And so you think about how Cyclops was the one, I mean, on that issue, that's the only really original, I believe, the only original character of the series that's still coming out.
Yeah, and the giant size X-Men, it was Cyclops, and he had to save all the other X-Men, and they needed a new team, so that's when he got Storm and Nightcrawler, Wolverine, and Colossus in. And they went and go save the original team X-Men, and that's what launched it, because apparently it wasn't successful up until that point, so.
Yeah, it was kind of just we'll say a B-lister, maybe a mediocre, and I still liked it. I've read a lot of it, but Beast wasn't the Beast that we know. He was just kind of he had big feet and big hands.
Kind of weird, ape-like body structure. He did have the long arms and stuff, you know. But.
And then when he didn't become hairy till later, and then it was gray hair at that. At the beginning.
He tried to cure himself.
And I loved it because I love Beast, I think. Yeah. And I got to say, Kelsey Grammer was the best of casting for him because he was so perfect. He really was. Perfect personality. Perfect. Because he's very kind, very gentle, and yet very intelligent. And yet when he gets mad, I could see that. I could see he was perfect. Anyway, but the cartoon, the first season or so, I think it was just the first season, but we got no Beast for the longest time because he was locked up.
and I was like,
where's my Beast?
I want some Beast.
And then Toy Biz at the time, made the toys.
Yes.
And it was so good. I'd buy them all. But I'm saved up.
Yeah, you had quite the collection.
Well, I was working at the time. Yeah. I just started working and at McDonald's. And I was also babysitting. So I was saving them up and getting them. And I still got, no, I gave most of them away now. But I was bad collector. No, I'm kidding. But I was getting them, and I loved the Beast. There was something about him. That's when toys started really starting to look like the cartoon.
Yeah.
And I loved the holding Beast because he just felt like the cartoon. He looked like him, you know, and I just loved that. It was so much fun. But Gambit became my favorite because he had this kind of a Southern gentleman. I got a little bit Southern in me, you know. Yeah. And I love that. Yeah. Well, some of my family's from Tennessee and all that, so down in that area. And so I loved that. I thought that he was cool. Plus, I didn't know who he was. I loved it. Something about the black eyes with the red eyes.
Red pupils.
That was so cool. And I'm also an artist, so that was so unique.
Yeah, he always had a cool look. Out. Yeah.
And I had, you know, not for real, but I kind of had a crush on Rogue as far as the girl characters go.
You can look, but you don't touch.
Oh, that's right.
Exactly.
But I think that was also kind of the cool thing. I still never understood why they didn't just put a collar on her.
Because that would make it too easy. And plus, if you repressed her mutant power, she probably would have lost all of the other powers, though, that she needed, too. Because having the
power
from Ms. Marvel taking those away, too, then she's useless. But you can take it on and pull it off. I know.
To kiss. I'm just talking about the kiss or whatever.
I know, and I think we talked about this, but I'm trying to make excuses for them. Come on, you know. But yeah, she could have just put a collar on and fixed everything. Now, apparently in the comics, they did for a while. She lost her powers and her and Gambit were able to go off on their own for a while. And then, you know, there is something we'll talk about when we get to the 97 that I'm kind of curious about that I don't know much about. But I do want to get into like the animated series. What was great about it, they pulled a lot of reference from the work of the greatest X-Men writer, Chris Claremont.
Yeah,
I got to sit in a panel with him and hear him to talk about the X-Men. I will be sharing that audio after I edit because, you know, he didn't cuss much, but near a little bit. So I'm going to try to get that out. But he had a lot of interesting things to say. And he's probably come up with some of the greatest stuff like the Phoenix Saga, the Dark Phoenix Saga.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
And I mean, you know, we really got to see what by the time we got to the third season, we had the Phoenix Saga. And I remember that was a mini series that was going on in the morning before I had to go to school, and I was glued to every episode of that. And then they did the Dark Phoenix Saga, and I was just soaked it up. And I do have a trade paperback of the Dark Phoenix Saga, which is great read. I want to get like the Phoenix Saga on a trade paperback or something, get some sort of collection. But that's part of what made the X-Men series work real, because you'd already had Batman, the animated series, that showed like, hey, we can make a show that adults will enjoy, and we can be serious enough about it and take the story seriously and not be corny and silly. And that's going to referencing the Chris Claremont, where he was writing for a more understandable, where they were more complex. And so you had deep characters that had, you know, full personalities, and they had story arcs and stuff that would happen to them personally. We could dive into Rogue's not being able to have human contact and what that's like. We could dive into their emotional beings, and so they were more fleshed out. So as old as we were, we could still enjoy this cartoon. Kids were able to enjoy it. Us teenagers were able to enjoy it. And it just made that series great. And of course, with the success for that, they realized, hey, let's bring Spider-Man back to the animated. And so we got like one of the best Spider-Man animated series that's been done, bar none. I still love that series. Absolutely.
It's a great one. Mm-hmm. See, and I think the brilliance of that cartoon, X-Men and Spider-Man, the brilliance of it. Now, at the same time, and it's probably my favorite cartoon ever made as far as the series goes. And it's definitely my favorite version of the character, but Batman, the animated series that come out.
That's definitely the brilliant. Best version of Batman you'll ever see.
Oh, it ever. And it's my favorite animated series.
But yeah, that's a fantastic animated series.
It's my favorite because it takes a combination of things. That's what's so brilliant sometimes is you go back later and you take the best of this and the best of that. In the beginning, they had a little bit. Well, I'm getting off subject. Anyway, the point was
X-Men.
The point was what they did with the X-Men and Spider-Man was they were able to take stories that worked from the comic book and said, okay, we're going to have to, I don't want to use the phrase dumb it down, but we're going to have to put it into a series. We can't use everything that was in the comic, partially because we don't have all the characters. We don't have Shadowcat. We don't have this. We don't have that. But sometimes what they would do that was brilliant was they had special guest stars like Colossus, or whatever.
Yeah, and we'll use them in this. Once.
Yeah, and we could use them, but sometimes they couldn't because they were just guest stars and they couldn't use them. And other times they could, so they're very smart that way. But yeah, they had to change a few little things around, but not enough to where it really, I don't think, at least ruined it.
Yeah.
For some, though, you know, who are, you know, I don't know what the right phrase is, a little bit of a perfectionist. They're like, oh, but it wasn't the same because Shadowcat wasn't in there. I'm just using her as an example.
Yeah, we used Jubilee instead.
Yeah.
But that makes sense. I mean, Shadowcat was often Excalibur in the comics at the time, so she wasn't part of the X-Men. So, you know, having at least somebody to take Shadowcat's place, you know, and of course Jubilee or Sprite as Kitty was known back in the day. Jubilee in there kind of to take her position but yet be of course her own distinct personality kind of helped because it was a good transition. If you if you enjoyed the cartoon and you wanted to read the comics, you were going to find Jubilee and all the characters you knew from the cartoon were there plus some extra ones.
First time I saw Jubilee, I thought she looked a lot like Robin because the first picture I saw, this was on Wizard Magazine when I first bought Wizard Magazine. It just came out. And the lighting that they had for Jubilee, her shorts looked kind of greenish, even though they were actually blue.
Yeah.
They looked kind of greenish. And she's wearing the red top and she had like that yellow jacket.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, and also the glasses.
So it's like a mask.
Right? And they look kind of greenish from that picture. And I was like, is it a Robin girl?
Because
I knew it wasn't the same character.
Frank Miller had done that girl Robin in the Dark Knight Returns that had a similar look.
I knew it wasn't the same company, but I thought, huh, she looks Robin-ish.
I hadn't thought of that about that, but yeah, you're right. She's very Robin-ish.
Which is a new phrase, Robin-ish.
Robin-ish. As Batman's kind of Wolverine-ish, except for Wolverine will kill.
Now, you remember that? Oh, now that takes you to a whole other conversation we ought to do sometime. Remember the Amalgam when they had the dark?
See, I remember them doing it, but I don't think I ever collected any of it.
Dark Claws.
Yeah.
I have them. Some of them.
You had fun with that. You started making your own Amalgams and stuff like that. Trying all kinds of mixtures. You were having a lot of fun with that.
Oh, I had a blast. I had Iron Man and Batman together. That was a lot of fun.
And that actually makes a lot of sense, too.
Yeah. Because I thought Rich Man,
it was a lot of fun. There you go.
I had him in an Iron Man, Batman type thing. I can't think of the name of it right now. I don't know if it was Iron Wings, I think, or something, but I don't remember what it was. But it was a lot of fun.
The Iron Bat.
Yeah, it might have been that.
I just can't remember.
Yeah. I have it written down still. I have drawn. Anyway.
So we really, of course, enjoyed the heck out of that series. Now, I don't think I was watching it by the time we got to a fifth season, and I own most of this on DVD. I can't find Volume 4, but Volume 5 is still available on the Disney Movie Club, but I can't find Volume 4 anywhere. I don't know if I rent Season 5 because it was a different animation company and the stories weren't as good.
Yeah.
I know enough of what happened to get into X-Men 97, where Charles Xavier was...
Disney Plus, don't they?
Huh? Disney Plus has got a few episodes out of order, but that's okay. But you can watch it all on Disney Plus. But I like to own physical media.
Yeah, me too. You're nerdy like me.
I want the entire Spider-Man animated series as a full nice legal copy. But until then, I have my own methods that I do have the entire series on DVD that I made myself. But for the longest time, that was the only way I was ever going to watch him again. But now, of course, you can watch it on Disney Plus, which I appreciate. So now we get into X-Men 97, and we've got, Charles Xavier had an attempted assassination that made his powers go kind of out of control, where he's actually was taken away by the Shi'ar to try to take care of it, but they are treating him like he's dead. They don't know that they're ever going to get him back. I suspect we are going to get him back sometime in this new series.
I was going to ask because I didn't know. I thought, maybe it was on the old series, and I didn't see that part. I really don't know.
It was the final episode of the original series is where all that happened. And it's one of the few episodes, I guess, of the fifth season you do kind of need to watch. I mean, I think they did maybe it was season 4 where they did the Age of Apocalypse for a little bit.
I remember that.
That was kind of a big deal. But season 5, the only things I remember is that episode, and then also Jubilee getting which actually was based off of a comic, Jubilee getting lost somewhere with a bunch of kids and an earthquake, and they're in caves that they're exploring, and she tells them this fairy tale story with the X-Men characters, which is based off of something that actually happened during Chris Claremont's time, except for Kitty Pryde doing it. So they did do that.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
But with X-Men 97, what I did appreciate is we see some recognizable stories. Now I don't know if they're going to go full on House of M. House of M, I had to look this up.
I remember
my
that.
Notes back up. House of M actually had some stuff that had happened in a previous or like a different timeline. But what you see Magneto wearing with the big M in the second episode is the same that you see in House of M. So I see them once again. I had been concerned, considering the showrunner is part of the a certain group that has an agenda. We'll put it like that. I was afraid he was going to insert his agenda far into this series, and I've expressed these concerns before, and we weren't going to get good stories. But they're still pulling story material from the comics, so we see a little bit of House of M. We're seeing a little, and I don't want to spoil anything. I'm hoping you all have seen these two episodes, or you're kind of thinking about whether you're going to watch it. We're going to have bits of Inferno and Madeline Pryor, the Goblin Queen, apparently that we're working that storyline in here as well. So they're still pulling from Chris Claremont. So we're going to get some good X-Men stories from what we're seeing. The only bit that I did see, and this was some people who had concerns on this, that Morph, they've made it where his regular face is featureless, and the ending credits, like they're trying to replicate the ending credits. We really didn't get to see when it was being shown on Fox Kids. But if you watch in Disney Plus, the end credits had where they had like a 3D version of each character, and it would go and say and list their powers, you know, and they would all pull up. And they did a version of that for the ending. And you will note that Morph is their powers. He's they themed, and he's pronoun. That so far is the only thing where I see an agenda probably being worked in, because they did talk about Morph. They decided was going to be kind of gender fluid, because he's whatever he turns himself into, instead of the fact that he was born male and he just kind of shifts his form, but he was still born a male. But this is kind of the new thing they've done in even the X-Men comics, because the comics are now way off in an agenda that Stan Lee had never actually intended. And I have learned, I mean, I think I did talk about, like, there was a racism element going on that during the 60s. It kind of fit with that, but I have seen interviews where Stan Lee said he never really intentioned that. He just wanted to, he ran out of ideas for people to have their powers, and he thought, well, what if they were just born with it? And he just kind of went from there. So he didn't really intend for everything special. What's going on now, it has been taken over by certain groups with their agenda, and they're relating it, and they've changed what the X-Men are. And Chris Claremont even lamented that death means nothing now in X-Men, because if you die, they have machines on Genosha that just bring you right back and make you a new body. So it means nothing. And Chris Claremont even said, like, I'm the guy who killed Jean Grey, and I meant for her to stay that way. So he's lamented what they've done in a lot of other ways with the characters. But this, of course, this X-Men 97, and I was like, okay, I want to be fair. And I will say I did enjoy both of those episodes they released last week, and I'm looking forward to see what they do next week. But what, or this week on Wednesday, they'll release another episode. But I am worried sometimes when they pull that nostalgia of a show we used to like or some sort of franchise that we have liked when we were kids and they bring it back, they'll give you a couple episodes and you're like, oh, hey, those were good. And then that third episode is wham, here's the agenda that... Yeah. I'm sorry, as a man of God, I cannot get behind that agenda. Yeah. I mean, God loves everybody, but you don't stay the same. I'm not the same person I was after my encounter with Christ. He's changed Amen. Me. And
you can love someone and not have to agree with them either.
Right. I don't have to agree with you, but that doesn't mean I don't love you. And because right. I got sin in my life. You got sin in your life, whoever you are. You got your own sin, and I won't agree with your sin. But if you're making that your main thing, I'm going to say, man, You don't realize it, but you're in a path to destruction, and God loves you enough to get you out of it if you give him a yeah. chance. He transforms people. But okay, but that's, you know, besides the point. But I feel like I get to say that kind of thing because that's what I was saying earlier. But overall, sure. I will say I did enjoy these episodes and I got excited at the stories that they're bringing up. But one thing that we kind of almost got it there with Rogue, it seems she can touch Magneto without a problem. So I'm yeah. wondering. Now, Magneto has always bragged about electricity and magnetism being related, and so electricity doesn't have an effect on him, so Storm can strike him with lightning, and he don't care. And I wonder if Rogue's powers are somehow, in a weird way, because it's energy-based, she feeds electricity, but maybe that, or not, well, I just use electricity, but I was meaning to say electricity, but because of that energy basis, I wonder if that's, like, electrical in her own way, to where that's why she's not having an effect on Magneto. And I'm looking to see where this goes because in the comics in the 90s, when they started the regular X-Men line with Jim Lee's brilliant art, that was kind of a thing that Magneto has at times tried to live up to Xavier's dream and tried to fight for it. He's kind of gone back and forth, but he and Rogue did strike up a pretty good friendship. And she did kind of care about him. We don't know to what extent is going to happen in the animated series. You know, it seems like there's a past maybe before that I'm interested to see them explore. And there might be something.
Well, she was a villain for a while.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. With Mystique there. So I'm interested to see where they're going to go with this. Because it seems like she's able to touch Magneto and it's not harming him. So I'm curious what they're doing with that. And then also at the very, and I hope I'm not spoiling this, but where after we see the birth, and although they called him Nathan Charles Summers instead of Nathan Christopher Summers, we saw the birth of Cable. And I was like, that's interesting because Cable's mother was actually Madeline Pryor. And then knock, knock, knock. Here's Jean Grey. I'm looking for the X-Men. The real Jean Grey has just stepped in. And yeah. So I'm like, oh, we're going to do it. The Goblin Queen, the Inferno, it's going to happen. And I'm not that familiar with some of the story. I think I did pull some notes up on some of the stuff with the Inferno storyline. There's a bit of a complicated thing with this was a main Marvel thing, but I want to just, you know, grab a couple of paragraphs, but say, meanwhile, Nasturth, and who's one of these demons who's causing troubles in Manhattan, made a bargain with Madeline Pryor, agreeing to locate her son Nathan and manipulate the X-Men into killing the Marauders in exchange for her casting a spell that would make a permanent bridge between Earth and Limbo. So there's a lot of big, full Marvel Universe stuff that goes on in this, but in fulfillment of his other half of the bargain, Nasturth liberates Nathan from Mr. Sinister's laboratory, where Madeline learns that she is, in fact, a clone of Jean Grey created by Sinister. And who wouldn't love to see Mr. Sinister come back to the animated series?
Yes.
That, I'm expecting to see a lot of this happen and her become a full villain. Because, you know, Sinister wanted to get an offspring of Jean and Cyclops.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that's what he has gotten. By making a clone of Jean, and, you know, there you go. He's got the child that he wants. And I'm hoping we get to see how Nathan has to be sent to the future. Because I can't remember if he had like an illness or something, but he had to get sent to the future. And that's where he becomes Cable in the future. And I've actually got the comics. I really enjoyed this. After Jean and Scott got married, they had the Adventures of Cyclops and Phoenix, where they get pulled into the future and they got to raise Cable in during an age where Apocalypse rules the world. It was a great storyline where they got to have their son back. Well, his son, but kind of genes too, because it was her genetics, you know, it's just, she didn't get to give birth to him, but so yeah, it was genius. Really neat. And I'm hoping maybe we get some of that. We could get a lot of Cable backstory. And, you know, in the original series Cable, there's like one moment where he's trying to research the X-Men and he says, well, I know about him and Jean Grey, but he never tells them that, oh, by the way, I'm your son, because he doesn't want to, like, okay, this is in their future. They don't know about me. But I'm wondering if at some point Cable will pop up into this new series and be able to say, hi, Dad.
I always thought that it was a Terminator type story. Now, one thing you was talking about, Morph and his face, his Voldemort face. But that has become a thing, like with those who can change shape and all, because Chameleon's the same way. And also it DC, and I can't remember his name, but well, in DC,
the
they have a character
wearing a mask though.
Well, in DC, they do the same thing. I don't remember the character's name, but I bought an Alfred figure. And Alfred, and I really don't remember the character's name at all, but Alfred, the figure, came with three Alfred faces and this chameleon-looking face, like, you know, Voldemort face, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I have the little head of that almost exact same face of Morph and Chameleon. And but also came with the Alfred from the comic book, the Alfred from the original TV show, which is why I bought it. And then Alfred, and I'm hoping I can find another body for this, but he has Alfred from the original 1989 movie. And I thought that is so cool. But it also came with that chameleon looking face. And I thought, huh. So it seems like every time someone could change shape or whatever, or whatever it is, a disguise, they seem to use that almost Voldemort looking face for some reason.
Face that just, ugh.
Yeah. It's white, always whitish or whatever.
Yeah.
Or at least cream color. Yeah. And no nose. And they all look the same, basically.
Yeah.
Scary looking.
So we need to be able to move to Ghostbusters, but what are your thoughts on 97? Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I loved it. The moment it started up and you get the music and the beginnings identical except for a few little things.
And the animation, and I think, is a little better because it's Disney animators.
Well, of course. I thought the same thing. They try to stay within the same reign and yet make their own thing.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I was to hear the voices.
Yes.
Most of them are the same. And I was so excited.
Yeah,
and I was so excited because the moment I heard "Hey, Bub," I was like, "That's my Wolverine!" Mm-hmm. And then the don't get me wrong, I love the movies. For the most part. And then I loved, but to hear "Hey, Bub," and that's my guy. And then hearing "Hey, Shaddy," and I'm like, "There's my guy!" You know, even the goofy, dorky looking stuff where he's wearing the little half shirt and all that stuff. I'm like, that's the guy, you know.
Yeah.
And then Cyclops was very heroic. I'm like, that's the Cyclops I love.
Had a fantastic opening scene where Cyclops comes in and starts whooping the fire out of some Friends of Humanity. And I love the moment where they're like, take his visor off. They think they've got him. Oh, we took his visor off.
Oh,
he's like,
no.
Oh no, you've taken off my visor. Whatever will I do? I guess I better surrender. And he does the thing. Not. Just opens his eyes like a boom. I was like,
it was so classic because the thing about the old show is when I watch it, it's sometimes a little cringy at times. I love it, but it's sometimes cringy whenever, like, Rogue yells. It's sometimes overboard.
Yeah.
But they kind of had no – but the old cartoons, it is overboard, but they kind of – they're trying to sell the drama of it. You know, it's almost soap opera at times, but it's the way it is.
You have to go overboard with animation, though, to get it across in your voice, though.
Yeah. Wow.
The one thing I'm still waiting,
I loved it.
I'm waiting for an answer for why Bishop is there, because he usually time travels back and forth for a reason. And having him a regular part of the X-Men is great. I love that idea, but I would like to know, like, okay, well, what? Why did he come back for, and why is he staying? I want that story. That sounds like a good story.
I love the little things that they changed and yet were still the same-ish.
Yeah.
Like, I liked how Storm had a mohawk, yet the way they did it looked.
Story coming. Because she didn't really, in the 80s when she got the mohawk and she changed her outfits because she had lost her powers. So with
the
mohawk,
the
I was like, well, that's kind of a different look. That's the look she had when she started just wearing all black and she wasn't wearing the capes because she had lost her powers.
She had like a sleeveless shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. So now that she's lost her powers, I'm like, oh, I see we're going that way.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
So I'm excited to see I can't remember how she got her powers back. I've read some of the issues where she lost her powers and she had to deal with that.
Yeah.
But I don't remember how she got her powers back. So I don't
remember either.
I'm hoping by the end of the season she'll be back full force because I love her. She's got the coolest powers. I mean, come on. She controls
And
the
I
weather.
Love hearing I loved hearing the voice.
Yes.
Hearing
and
the voice.
And her dramatic, cheesy lightning shall purify your anger.
She always reminds me, you know, she always reminds me of a little bit. She always reminds me just a little bit of Uhura from Star Trek. Because the way she would say stuff, she goes, back to your place, mister. And I'm like, oh, man, there always reminds me just a little bit. You're back to your post. Yeah, it's true.
It's true. It's true. Oh, my goodness. I hadn't thought of that, but I always loved her cheesy. The storm mistress of the elements commands you to release her.
Yeah.
Oh, she had some of the greatest delivery.
Theatric.
But it made sense because this is somebody who in Africa was being revered as a goddess. So a little bit of that has affected her personality.
Yeah,
but she's got some of the coolest powers. It doesn't make sense for her to have that power, but it's still cool.
Like I said, Wolverine, oh, man. The moment I heard him, hey. And I love when Gambit, because you know Gambit's my guy. He's my favorite. When Gambit jumps on his back and his claws are going pink, I'm like, yay.
Although, okay, my problem I had with that, and Heather and I had a discussion of that, when Gambit charges something, it explodes. So how can he charge the skeleton and then Wolverine doesn't explode?
I thought the same thing.
It's like, did they not look at how his powers work? He charges it with a kinetic explosive energy, for crying out loud. Come on. I mean, yeah, it looks cool, but it doesn't make a lick bit of sense. So I actually thought that was stupid. As much as it looked cool, I was like, did you want to do your research? He charges it up. He throws it. It's kinetic. It gets the kinetic energy and it makes it fling out there, and then it explodes upon impact. Oh, well.
No, I don't know.
But
I
anyways,
cool, though.
When there's something strange in your neighborhood, like, you know, charging up Wolverine's claws, who are you going to call? You have no answer for that?
Ghostbusters?
Yeah, there we go. I had to turn the corner because, trying to keep this an hour-long show. We've only got about 10 minutes left.
I'm looking at my Ghostbuster collection over there.
Yes, indeed. And I actually have half of my Ghostbuster collection. Well, actually, more than half of my Ghostbusters collection is some of your leftovers that you've given me. So, and then of course, I have a little bit more because I have bought
behind you.
I've got my real Ghostbusters, but then I've also bought. So I have 8 figures I bought on my own and 8 figures that you gave me. So yes, you've literally half of my collection is from you, and the other ones are stuff I bought on my own that you can kind of see that on camera. My real Ghostbusters, and then when they made those other ones to be more like the movie style, but yet cartoony like the real Ghostbusters, which I had to get those. I love those figures; they're really great.
Those are great.
Figures. So we got a chance to see, not at the same time. We didn't get to go together. Yeah. I brought my sister and my wife along. We got to see Frozen Empire, and
with that night, and I've seen it twice now because I took my nephew. Yeah. We had a good time
and had fun both times, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, I did. In fact, I went ahead the other night. I got that little Stay Puff dude, you know, they have this little Stay Puff. I got the last one at the theater, at least.
Yeah, I told you had to get one because I bought one.
Yeah, and it was very last one.
On your shoulders, I should be wearing one.
They
right
had
now.
It on display up there, and I said, "Do y'all have any more little Stay Puff?" They said, "Oh, that's the very last one." And I said, okay, get the." Anyway, my nephew liked it, and so me being the uncle that I am, I said, Do you like it a lot? He goes, yeah. I said, well, it's yours. And I gave it to him because you know how I am. I can't help it. That's the Uncle Santa type, you know.
There we go. So those of you who are Patreon subscribers that are getting it, and it's a certain tier of Patreon, the $10 tier, that gets video, will now see that I have a Stay Puft sitting on my shoulder. Or a mini Stay Puft, really.
Stay Puft on your shoulder makes you happy.
He's a magnetic, so you stuff him in your shoulder, and he'll sit right there on your shirt. It's fantastic.
They're cute.
And I had to get it as soon as I saw it, because I do love the little mini Puffs. And they, of course, have a great appearance in the show. And I thought it was funny. It was a good story.
I loved it.
Scary monsters. I love what they've done with Winston. I don't want to spoil too much for those who haven't seen it yet. Although it made like 40 something million here in the States.
Man.
A lot of people went to go see this because Afterlife was a good movie and this was a good. Now the criticisms I see, and I'm going to address these, and one of them I kind of agree with, Dave Cullen, who's this Irish guy who does really, I think, really good reviews on YouTube. He was bored, and he said part of it is some of the humor style is missing or different, and that there's not that weird playfulness and charm that the original cast had. But I think part of it is this is written by different people other than Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis, and Harold Ramis has a certain style of humor that comes across in every movie where he's written on, like even on Grindhog Day, and there is a certain playfulness to his humor, and his style is missing from the humor of these last two movies. Not to say that these movies don't have some funny and some good humor.
But it
really doesn't feel the same. So I have to agree with him on that. But I still enjoyed it and I still laughed, especially at the mini puffs. I love the mini puffs and their slapstickness. The other major criticism, and this is almost the elephant in the room, and my wife and I have both said, like, we were concerned that, and this might be almost a little spoilery, but Phoebe makes a friend who is a ghost. And she was worried, like, I hope they're not going to imply that there's more to this than just a friendship. And after seeing some interviews with a teenager interviewing McKenna Grace, I think that's her name, who plays Phoebe. It's like, oh, I just love the crush that Phoebe has on this ghost. And there are people who, on both sides of it, whether they think it's a woke thing and it's bad, or the people who are encouraging it, who are trying to imply that there's some sort of romanticness between her and this ghost, but there's nothing in the movie to me that really implied anything romantic. It just seemed like a unusual friendship with a young human girl who's kind of awkward and has a hard time making friends, but she can kind of relate because she's going through some growing pains. And I like that Phoebe did have a growth in her character, because you see her, you know, at 15 hitting that rebellious bit of teenagers and you don't want to listen to your parents and all this stuff. But by the end, even though she's called her mother by her first name, she at the end, it's mama, it's mother, mom again. She grew and she learned that her parents are watching out for her and maybe she can listen to them. So she does have a character arc that I did appreciate. And part of it is making mistakes along the way with her new friend. But she finds that she can relate to this 16-year-old girl ghost because of the awkwardness of their situation. And being about the same age, they can kind of relate. And I saw that as a friendship, but when it started up, I was like, I have a bad feeling this friendship is going to be somehow bad with the villain involved. And I was right.
That's,
I don't want to say
too
much because I don't want to spoil the movie. I want to be very careful. But I only saw this as a friendship, but a lot of people are trying to make more of it. And I don't know that it was the filmmaker's intention to have more of it, but I have to address that it is in there. But to me, she was just made a new friend, and it seemed like a friendship to me. And I was worried they were going to take it further, but it didn't feel to me that they could take it any further.
I think it's all on the viewer. If you want it to be that way, that's up to you. If you don't, you won't. But as far as the actress, she's a good actress. But the problem is, and this is not her fault, but it's her age and the generation she's grown up with. By the way, I'm not trying to taunt anyone. I'm really not. But they're ignorant, and ignorant means uneducated in the fact. They don't know any better.
Right.
Meaning this way that they're being raised, not even talking about by their parents necessarily, but by the generation, is that that's the cool, popular, and they think natural thing, which is not, but it's not, they think it is. And so I understand it, but there's really nothing in the film to imply that at all. In fact, if anything, you see that it was a manipulation. I'm talking about from the other character. Yeah. I won't go into it, but I will say there's a manipulation, and that happens. I had that in my life, where there'd be people who you think are your friend.
Yeah.
And you realize that they're trying to manipulate you. But when you're brought up, you know, as the Bible says, bring up in the way they should go, and then it will not depart from them. That's the way, thank God for my father and my mother, because they taught me right from wrong. And so when I had people trying to manipulate me and turn me away, I turned right back and said, no. Yeah. And it was that very age, 15, 16, turn me right back.
That's that age we all have to deal with.
That's why it felt right.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's why in the movie it felt right to me, because it's like, and she is a good actress.
Yeah,
one thing she did at the very beginning of the movie that I don't know why, it was so weird, but she's so good at it, was she does this weird joke wink thing.
Yes, I love the wink, because her wink is even somehow awkward, where like the whole eyelid seems to come down. I love it. It's cracking me up.
She's great though. She's so good as an actress. I really like her.
Because that's one other criticism that says, like, oh, they just completely didn't like Phoebe because she was just odd and they were afraid she was turning a girl boss. Like, no, she wasn't. She was being a 15-year-old girl, but she learns a lesson.
And she's lovable.
Yeah,
she's lovable.
I think probably what helped is I watched Afterlife again the night before and learned to love Phoebe and all the other new characters. Podcast is kind of annoying in the first one. I don't like his equipment, because being in podcasting for 11 years, I know his equipment is not accurate for what anybody uses. He's got film equipment. Not podcasting.
I need to watch that movie again.
But
even without watching the movie again,
Phoebe, I was prepared for Phoebe, and they had already endeared themselves again to me. So I was like, oh, that's Phoebe. But I was like, ooh, wow, she got a rebellious streak. But I was like, she's 15. That makes sense. She's going to be that way. But I love the growth that even Paul Rudd's character, Mr. Gruberson, gets, because he's learning to try to be. They don't really say if they, you know, if he's married and he's their real stepfather. I don't think he's supposed to be. But maybe
I don't think they're
is.
Married yet.
Yeah, but he's trying to
just
he's trying to be the father
dating.
Figure, and he has a moment where he's got to quit being their friend and be a father. And I love when he steps up, has to be a father, and then the mother goes over to him. And is like, I know it hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah,
and I was like, I understand
stinks.
That.
Yeah, that's awful.
You can't be their friend, and sometimes you have to put your foot down. And I mean, and yeah, I've never raised a kid, but I've been around kids, and I've had to put my foot down. And you love the kids, like, yeah, I hate to have to do this, but I have to be the authority because I've driven a school bus, you know. But you have to be the authority figure, and the kids need that. And as they get older, they will appreciate you for putting that authority, because what are you doing with that authority? As they were talking in the movie. And even what he has to tell her. So you realize everything we're doing is because we're trying to protect you. And it's, you know, I'm trying not to be spoiler again, but when Phoebe has that realization that they're there for, and when Phoebe's coming back and she's figured out what it's going to take to defeat the monster, she's still kind of struggling with it. And then her mother comes alongside and helps her. And the way she kind of wraps her arm, kind of like the way Grandpa Egon does with that moment, mm-hmm. when the mother comes along and helps her. I was like, there it is. I mean, that's teaching the teenagers, your parents are there for you. They love you. They're looking out for you, and they are going to help you and support you. And I loved it. And I felt like there was a lot of good character growth, and that's what movies need. Good character growth. Good
I love
stories. Scary monsters is a good thing that they get to fight. But
what I love too was it was to me. And now I love the first one more than others, but
the
other three, I give a B plus, whatever, B plus, probably all of them. But what I love about this one is it had such a feel of the original.
Back
in New York, mm-hmm. and the music, there's a lot of the original music, yeah. and there's, I'm not going to say who, but there's a couple guest appearances from characters we hadn't seen since the first one. Just a couple little ones here and there. But I was like, hey,
the one guy says a couple minutes, but I recognized him. Like, yeah, what has that like, got to do
you?
With it?
Yeah, back like, off, hey, man, dude, yeah.
That guy. Oh,
I loved
goodness.
It. Yes. It was so much fun, and it was just, oh, I loved it. Yeah. The like I said, it made me feel like I was a kid again, seeing it and I was like, oh, that's great. And mm-hmm. I don't know. It was just so much fun. I enjoyed it. I tell you who I wish would come back at least one more time.
Rick Moranis.
I wish
they
could make. I wish. I know Sigourney made an appearance last time.
Yeah.
At the very end.
Dana can be a regular
But I
character.
Want to see. Yeah, I want to see her. And I want so badly to see Rick Moranis. Just one appearance. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking for. One appearance. Rick, we love you.
I wanted to see if Louis Tully had actually had married Janine. You know, how that relationship ended up.
That would have been fun.
I wanted to see it. Maybe next time.
I love Lewis.
Because, if you stayed for there's a mid-credit scene. I have read mm-hmm. it and it's confirmed that they were hinting that they're not done with Mini Puffs. And there is another movie. They have a plan to have some story with the Mini Puffs of what they're really what's going on with them. And another movie. So we have a chance. Maybe Rick Moranis will get the call and he'll say, sure, okay. I mean, I'm sure he's raised his children by now. So
they're older now.
Maybe has some time to come and do it. I think Rick Moranis knows how many people love him and would love to see him come back.
Oh, he's great.
I think it could happen. I'm going to hope for it. And then let Dana Barrett, Sigourney Weaver, let her come back again. Let Dana Barrett get a proton pack and bust some ghosts.
You know what would be really great, too? Because I like that there's a lot of Ghostbusters in this, the characters we've seen that I don't know if you want to call it an academy or whatever, but would be really great. Peter's son, not his son, but stepson, whatever it was, Sigourney Weaver's,
Oscar. Where's Oscar?
I would love to see Oscar. That'd be a great thing.
Instead of the weird British guy, which I mean, I liked him okay. If that had been Oscar, that'd have been awesome.
I liked that
character, but Oscar should have come back. Yes.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about the English accent, but look wise, he reminded me of the cartoon version of Egon.
Yes, he did. Oh, big time. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time. And maybe that was
he's
intentional.
Real serious. yeah, maybe, because he's very serious. And he took it real serious. And I'm like, oh, that's Egon. That's cartoon Egon if I ever saw one.
And I love Winston, part of his thing where he's developed this, expanding on Egon's technology with his crack research team that figured it out. And I love Winston getting more involved as he's...
He almost became like the grandpa type. He almost like the parent for everybody. Well, I also love it in the background. I don't know if you noticed this. In the background, did you notice that they were shooting that love slime from the second movie?
Yes!
They're testing out
new slime throwers and stuff.
I was like, I love it. I love
seeing all that in the background. Just so much fun stuff. A lot of little Easter eggs and fun. Mm-hmm. And even get to see the firehouse when an actual fire department worked out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a flashback that was the beginning of the movie.
And I realized when I was watching it, I was like, oh, okay, that's like, I think it was 70 years, supposed to be 70 years before the first movie.
Yeah, it was like 1904. Yeah, I think it was 1934,
I thought it was 04, but maybe you're right. Maybe it was 34. Maybe, I thought it was 04.
I thought it said 34.
Well, either way.
Watch it again. Gladly.
Yeah, oh no, I have to, my arm.
The critics are tearing it apart, but the fans of Ghostbusters fans are all over like, I loved it, we had a great time. So this is,
once again,
made a movie for the Ghostbusters fans. Whether the critics think it's a great cinematic masterpiece or not, doesn't matter. The fans are having fun, and that's who you made the movie for, is for the Ghostbusters fans.
Yeah, I loved it. Like I said, that's just me, but... will they ever beat the original? I don't think so, but I personally don't go in looking for that. I just want to enjoy myself and go into the Ghostbusters realm, if you will. Yeah.
Go in that world and catch some ghosts and fight evil monsters, evil Babylonian gods, quote,
little G. Yeah.
And even introducing like the new character that he's learning to be the fire mage or whatever.
I love him.
He was so much fun.
I've seen him on several movies and he is so much fun. Now, I've seen him kind of scary before, too. I can't remember what movie. So that's why it kind of had me curious about that character, too. I was like, you know, he could be good, bad.
I thought he was going to be a villain. When they left him alone with the containment unit, I thought, don't leave him in there because he's probably possessed and he's going to open the thing. But then they
were his
identity in his role. I was like, oh,
and
wow.
He was so funny. He was so funny. I
get you a discount on that. Oh, do you like this? Hey, I'll sell you $100. Yeah.
$60.
He was so much the typical street merchant you see. I loved him.
He was great. And Dan Aykroyd was great in it because he made you really feel for him.
Yeah.
And he is, but you know what's funny? And I don't mean this as a disrespect because I really love him, but the older he gets, the more and more he's starting to look like a conehead. I'll talk about his old self from Santa Claus.
We've run over an hour, though, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. But yeah, we definitely give both of these a recommendation. Hopefully the third episode of X-Men is just as good as the first two. And hopefully the next Ghostbusters film is just as much fun as this one was.
Yes.
But of course, I haven't plugged anything. So hey, go to NeverlandPodcast.com. You'll find a big W logo. Click on that. Get yourself some energy drink powders. Will not give you the jitters for gamers. Also, you'll find links for Podgagement. If you have a podcast, this will help you get your reviews. Clicking in there and making purchases does help me out. I do get a little bit of that. Also, while you're there, make sure you join the Neverlanders or the Pixies, because girls are too clever. They don't get lost. We also want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Will Hyten Wall Show. Want to remind you to send us an email, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. We are on x.com or Twitter, NeverlandPcast, and we're on Facebook with Neverland Podcast. Yeah, I know. I still have Neverland Podcast. I don't think I can change it to Fandom Nexus, so we live with it. There's a group. There's also a fan page. I get to interact a lot more with the group. We even have some daily questions and fun interactions we set up in the Facebook group, so a lot of fun there. And, of course, don't forget you can donate through our Patreon, patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast. Oh, by the way, I have a link for that one right on the website at neverlandpodcast.com. And also, if you look there in your show notes, Red Circle does have an exclusive feed where, guess what? I remove any ads that you probably heard during the show. I will take the ads away, put you a feed if you become a donor. It's very simple. You'll even get that at Patreon. You'll get a special feed that you can remove the ads. And Patreon even has a special version where I think I said it at 10 a month, you get video whenever we create video. And anything else special I make, it's very exclusive to the $10 club. And it does help out the show. Also, make sure we do have a shop where I have some merch. You can get the logo and some fun stuff on t-shirts, stickers, all kinds of fun stuff. Phone cases, all kinds of fun stuff. And of course, if you're wearing a t-shirt and you have this logo on something, it gives you a great opportunity to like, hey, this is a great podcast. I think you might like it. Sell it, share it with your Christian and non-Christian friends, because both of us, I think, we'll all have fun talking about some of the fun things that we do here. And also your Christian friends, if they're looking for something to talk about, some of these nerdy things from a Christian perspective, that's what this show is becoming. So there, well, I'm going to wrap it up, and we're going to end the show as I end it now every time. And let's see if Philip and I can coordinate on this. I'm going to give him a countdown on the camera. So get lost. In an adventure!
In adventure!
And he was still late for me, but that's okay. We'll see you probably very, very soon.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.